Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, and which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us continue by singing from Psalter 129. There are the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. Rejoice, ye people, homage give to God with voice of triumph sing. He ruleth in dread majesty, the great, the universal King. And what follows, 1, 3, and 4, and 5 of 129. The scripture reading this evening is first from the Acts of the Apostles, there of chapter 1, beginning with verse 9 until verse 11, and then from Song of Solomon, chapter 3, beginning with verse 6 until the end of the chapter. Acts 1, 9 through 11, and Song of Solomon 3, 6 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown, wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. So far. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Ellie Gunderson, who is in the hospital. Also, Eric Vanderveen, who is in the hospital. And Mr. and Mrs. Ben Buder, Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Dunsbergen, and Mr. and Mrs. John Van Vliet, who were all blessed with the birth of baby boys. Let us now seek the countenance of the Lord in prayer. Lord, it is in the evening of this day of commemoration that thou hast granted us and our children a place within the walls of thy house. Thou hast brought us here in safety, spared and kept us over unsafe roads and even through the air. And we pray, Lord, that something of what we sang together, something of what we read together, may leave a deep impression in our hearts. Because tonight, then it is, according to ecclesiastical year, that we are called upon to remember, to commemorate one of the redemptive acts of Christ. And Lord, we beseech thee, as thou hast ascended on high, and where the heavens received thee, and that door is not shut, but left open, that it may please thee in this evening to send also an ascension blessing. Thou hast received gifts for men, even for the rebellious also. And Lord, those are all encompassing gifts. They are the gifts of the ministry of the word. They are the gift of a new heart. They are the gift of the exercise of faith in the heart and lives of thy people. They are light in the midst of darkness, strength in the midst of weakness, courage in the midst of discouragement. And Lord, thou knowest most perfectly how that we came up this evening, how we took our place in thy house. Lord, may it please thee to condescend in thine ascension glory, and that there may be something of that holy joy that there also was in the hearts of the disciples when we read that they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Lord, that is a mystery. When thou didst die upon the cross of Calvary, then they were deeply saddened. Then we read that the two walking to Emmaus were wondering, as they had hoped, as they had thought, that he it was that should deliver Israel. But when that blessed Christ was taken up into heaven, and they, as it were, remained as orphans, we read that they returned with great joy. O Lord, it is because that Spirit of Christ already filled them. And may we now pray this evening for the same blessing, that it may please thee from the throne of glory to send forth thy light and thy truth to be our guide, when together we wish to search the scriptures, and when we have come up with our children to hear what that ascension message now is. Lord, thou knowest that the ascension day is so often in the background, and that is not a good sign. It may show that the glories of that resurrected and exalted mediator seem to be less on our mind than the birth of the Savior, than the suffering and the death of the mediator. And therefore, Lord, we beseech thee that it may please thee in this evening to grant further instruction also in the life of thy people. For Lord, also there, it is so necessary to behold the King in his beauty. And how often are thy people focused on themselves? How often, Lord, do they turn even to broken cistern that hold no water? How often are they busy with themselves, and is it about their name and their case and their trials and their sorrows? And how little are their exercises with that exalted King of glory? Lord, may that once change this evening because of Ascension Day. But may it also please thee to open the eyes of the blind. May it please thee, Lord, in this evening to shoot an arrow from thy glory dipped in that blood of Christ. But that must be directed to such that still live for their own account and see no beauty in him, who it altogether lovely and grace it's poured into his lips. Lord, we are gathered here together as a congregation, young and old, and thou knowest most perfectly how it is with each and every one of us. But Lord, may it please thee that this evening, that one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved, may be lifted up in the proclamation of thy word, that it may please thee, Lord, to rend the heavens and to come down, and that the mountains may flow down at thy presence, that the voice of the beloved may be heard. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. Lord, hast thou not promised to bless abundantly the provision of Zion and to satisfy her poor with bread? Hast thou not promised to clothe her priests with salvation? Lord, thou knowest that on our side it is all poverty and it is all impossible, because we are seekers by nature of ourself. We are pleasers of ourself. We are seekers of our own glory. But Lord, thou hast left that door into heaven open, in paradise so miserably shut by man in his deep fall, but now opened in the righteousness of him whom thou hast made glorious for thyself. And Lord, send then forth thy light and thy truth to be our guide. Take away what can be a hindrance. And there are so many obstacles, and they are always on our side. There are so many hindrances, Lord. There are so many buyers and sellers that we drag along into thy house. It is a weekday, a weeknight service. But Lord, may in this evening that power of the Most High be upon us, and grant then a listening ear. Give an understanding heart. Take away all that can stand in the way, also in the heart and lives of thy people. And Lord, may we so gather this evening with an holy desire, with that true expectation, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Lord, remember the special needs of this flock. Wilt thou in a special way remember the widow in the hospital? Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest the way she must take. May she experience, Lord, that there is an heavenly physician for whom there are no impossible cases. Bless the means. Give wisdom to those that give care. And may, if it please thee, the door of that hospital be opened once again, so that she may return home under the blessing of the Lord. Remember, Lord, the youth also in the hospital, graciously spared, but thou knowest also his condition. Oh, we read in thy word of a father, and certainly also we may think of the mother, but where the Lord said, bring him unto me. And Lord, may that be done in grace, by faith. May that take place and bless and heal and use the means. Bless this calling for the eternal welfare also of this young life. Thou hast spared him in the accident. Make it well further, Lord. And may impressions not wear off. May they not be forgotten. Thou hast blessed the three families with a well-born baby boy. Lord, grant that these children may have been born for the glory of their Creator. Thou hast blessed the families. Spare the lives of the mothers. Added the responsibility in the family circle. Lord, what shall we render unto thee? The congregation has again grown, and three members, though not yet baptized, but are already added to this large flock. May it be a matter of prayer for the whole congregation, that all the children that are born may be born to be born again in Zion. O God, bind that need and responsibility upon the hearts of the families, the fathers and the mothers, and bless them with the fear of thy blessed name. Lord, to whom shall we go also this evening? Thou hast gladdened this flock by sending one of thy servants. Thou hast inclined his heart. And Lord, we pray, may all things go well for him, for this congregation, for the brothers of the consistory in due time, that he may be bound to this flock in a more formal way when the installation and inaugural will take place. Lord, prosper Zion. Add such as thou hast ordained to believe. And be with us now also this evening. Gracious God, open the scriptures. Take away all that can stand in the way in speaking and in listening. Help thy servants and our brother students, wherever they are called to bring thy word. Will thou make thy way before them plain? And help also this thy servant in this place. Lord, time and again, it is, give ye them to eat. And here we are, and we have no more, but five loaves and a few fishes. Lord, will thou thyself give the multiplication, so that we, by thy grace, may be distributors of that manifold grace of God. And Lord, there is so much of it. There is an abundance of it. Thou didst fill the net when it was cast on the right side of the ship. With 153 fishes and the net did not rent. Lord, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Will thou then also, as the gospel net is drawn in the midst of the congregation, gladden by thy deeds and bless our gathering. All this we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us continue by singing Psalter 45, the stanzas 1 through 4. And in the meantime, your offerings will be received. There will be only one collection tonight, and that will be for the cemetery fund. Psalter 45, now the King in thy strength shall be joyful, O Lord. Thy salvation shall make him rejoice. For the wish of his heart thou didst freely accord, the request of his suppliant voice. 1 through 4 of 45.
Thank you.
Congregation, children, young people, I'd like to begin with a question tonight. And that question is, why is there such a difference between Christmas and Ascension? Difference, especially in the way it is celebrated, remembered. Why is that? Because that there is a difference, I don't think needs so much explanation, does it not? When we think about Christmas, even the world gets involved. It's in the air. It's in December. Commerce gets involved. The stores decorate. It's the season of lights. Of love, of hope, of peace, worldwide. And we try to make it as gezellig as possible, don't we? Because a Christmas that is not gezellig hardly looks like a Christmas. And then Ascension Day. Did you think about it today? Even. Let alone prepare for it. I know it. Ascension Day is not a day off. I know it. There are so many differences. But is that right? Is it right that throughout the ages, Ascension has been called the stepchild among the redemptive facts or acts of Christ, the Heilsfeiten, as they are called? Is that right? To call Ascension Day the stepchild, the stiefkind? That doesn't sound too good, does it? Why is the church able to draw, as it were, the world even to Bethlehem? And not to the Mount of Olives. Why is the whole world in December busy with the birth of Christ? And almost no one even considers the glory of Christ. That may be the difference. That may be the reason right there. Why is the church able to lure, as it were, crowds of people to Bethlehem? But who wants to witness the glories, the honor of Jesus? That's precisely what it is about. No, we are not saying here tonight that the one redemptive act of Christ is less important or more important. Congregation, every redemptive act of Christ, from his humble birth all the way to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, are so precious and so full of gospel truths. And they all point to Christ. But why is Ascension Day called the stepchild? Why is Ascension so forgotten? Why did we have to remind maybe our children tonight, there is church? Oh, that's right, I forgot. I got too much homework. Or I had this and this and this planned, and now there is church. That's right, Ascension Day. Is it possible? Is it possible that the feast that is in the first place a feast for Christ, because that's what it is. That's what it is. Dear children, young people, Ascension Day is not in the first place a feast for the church. But Ascension Day in the first place and foremost is a feast for Christ himself. Because those everlasting doors had to be opened. And the King of Glory entered in. And there received, as it were, the mediatorial crown upon his head. What a feast. What a reception. What a homecoming. We see Jesus, the author to the Hebrews says, crowned with honor and glory. Do we realize, my dear hearer, that that is exactly what salvation is about? Is there a soul here tonight that knows something of what it is to see him by faith? And that is salvation. God glorified. God the Father glorified. Christ said, I have glorified thee on the earth. Does that function in the life of God's people? Does that still function in our congregations, in our congregational life? To see him in the power of his resurrection. Congregation, how is that with you and me? Are we not much more focused on ourselves? Do we not live in a time where all the efforts, also in church, also in commemorating the feasts, that we are so focused on self? Come, let's be honest. Are we not much more occupied even with the commercial aspects of those feasts, and that there is unsanctified focusing on him? Congregation, why are there so many absent on the Mount of Olives? You know why? Because for that matter, what takes place on the Mount of Olives, we need enlightened eyes, opened eyes. For that matter, the glory of Christ, the glory of celestial bliss, congregation, you know where that takes place. That takes place there where first something else takes place. And that is that dying with Him. A rich Christ and a poor, humbled, abased people. A people who have nothing of self, in self. A people who sometimes is beset about with outward and inward obstacles and hindrances and circumstances that hinders them from seeing that blessed, exalted mediator that needs help. Come. It is the desire and the hope and the prayer of my heart that this evening, when we now turn to the Old Testament, the Song of Solomon, that the exhortation in that third chapter on Ascension Day may for the first time or again be the exercise of faith. Verse 11 of Song of Solomon 3. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. So far. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold the crown wherewith his mother crowned him, this homage to the ascended king. That is the right frame for Ascension Day. Homage to the ascended King of glory. In the first place, we consider then from the wilderness to celestial bliss. Secondly, from a crown of thorns to the crown of glory. And finally, in going forth unto beholding. Three main thoughts when we consider homage to the ascended King of glory. And in the first place, from the wilderness to celestial bliss. Verse 6, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? We cannot skip tonight the historical part of the Song of Solomon. And we also know that the Song of Solomon is more than just a history. It is a deeply spiritual book. It relates to us, congregation, the love of the bridegroom for his bride and the bride for her bridegroom. Secondly, we notice that there is spoken of a crown. The crown upon Solomon's head. But more than Solomon, greater than Solomon is here. And congregation, when we speak about his crown, we cannot skip. We cannot get around that crown that he received here upon earth. And that was the crown of thorns. And then thirdly, the exhortation, go forth and behold. Congregation, in Solomon, God gave unto Israel a glorious king, a kingdom of peace, In Solomon's kingdom and in Solomon's reign, we see tremendous glory and riches. But the riches of the heavenly bridegroom, the greater Solomon, are infinitely greater. In chapter 3 of Song of Solomon, a wedding procession is described. And several elements come to the foreground. In the first place, we notice there is a chariot. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? And then it says in verse 7, behold his bed. That refers to a chair. That refers to what we would call a chariot. Inside that chariot there is a large chair. And around that chair there is a structure, what we would call a chariot. And the details of that structure are also mentioned. From a distance it looks like pillars of smoke, but when it comes closer we notice it. It is a chariot, not pulled by horses, but carried, as was often done with dignitaries in the days of Israel. Let's in the second place notice the origin of this chariot. The wilderness. And let's think for a moment who are inside those chariots and who are following the chariots. We read about two groups of people. We read about the valiant men, 60 of them, each holding swords, being expert in war. Every man has the sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. They are Solomon's servants. Today we would call them bodyguards. 60 of them. And Solomon is sitting inside a chariot and it is being carried by the valiant men. But Solomon is also bringing someone else. Who then? It is his bride. She's not mentioned in this section. But we all know who she is, right? We all know her name. We all know who that bride of Solomon is, don't we? Her name is mentioned elsewhere. She's the bride of the king. Some expositors believe that the coronation of King Solomon coincided with his wedding, with the wedding of the bride of the Song of Solomon. There are different views on that. Let's not forget, when Solomon was crowned, then David gave the mule for Solomon to ride upon. Here is spoken about a chariot. So it is not entirely clear. Some believe that the day of Solomon's crowning was at the same time the day of his wedding. Others say it is just his wedding. But let's focus on the bride for a moment. Her name is Shulamite. Shulamite. What does that mean? Most likely, a shepherd's girl. Related to shepherds. You might say the lower part of society. Think of the birth of Christ, the shepherds, despised. And Shulamite, referring to a place, Sulem or Sunem, close to the Sea of Galilee. Galilean of the truest sort. And children, you know that text, right? Can there come any good out of Galilee? Any good? That tells us something. People that came from Galilee were of the basest sort. Congregation, that is something. And she is surrounded by the daughters of Zion. The bride also has a multitude round about her that accompanies her. Why would Solomon choose a Shulamite? Why is this not about the daughter of Pharaoh, for instance? Why is this not about some royal dignitary? Why is Song of Solomon about the bridegroom and his bride from Galilee? I think I know why. I think I know it. That Shulamite congregation, she has no reason to boast in anything of herself. The only thing she could boast in that is in her bridegroom. That's why. Oh, here is one who figured, no, who could never figure. Here is one who could never count herself worthy. Here is one singled out to be the bride who could never figure on it. Who could never count on it. Maybe never thought of it, perhaps. Are there such here tonight? Come. Are there Shulamites here in Picture Butte? Not many mighty, not many noble, but Shulamites. Yeah, how is it tonight? Is there a people here, perhaps, who could never figure on it? You know, there is a religion today that is so totally different from that. There is a religion, and it is growing today also. People are so predisposed. Sinners, sometimes when you listen to them, they talk as if it is all figured out. They could count on it. Plead the promises. Baptized. Confession of faith to the Lord's Supper. But something is missing. What is it? The element of the wonder. The wonder. And congregation, if there is one who cannot figure it out, if there is one who has no explanation and cannot say, I thought so already, or I had figured already that. No, it's the Shulamite. Nowadays it seems to be so deserved, does it not? It is so pre-calculated. It is so reasoned out. But this one, Galilean, of the basest, of the truest sort, she could not figure it out ahead of time. Maybe then there is hope for you and me yet. Maybe there is a soul here tonight. When you heard about the glories of ascension, when you heard something about Ascension Day glory, you immediately had to exclude yourself. Why? Oh, because there is nothing of it in sight. I was so busy today. I was so preoccupied with other things today. And furthermore, there is no connection here in sight. I am so focused on myself. I'm so busy with myself. And you have to understand that right. I'm not saying that sinners should not be concerned about themselves. But you know, we can also be concerned in the wrong way. Have patience, Lord. I will pay thee all. Touch not, taste not, handle not. And in the meantime, so focused on self and what others think and what others judge. Congregation, are there Shulamites here tonight? Most likely Bathsheba, the mother of King Solomon, played a crucial role in the ascent, in the wedding of King Solomon. But the exhortation on Ascension Day, particularly greater, more than Solomon, is here. And look at his bride. Look at the bridal decoration. Look at the bridal wreath of this king, King Jesus. What is his glory? Oh, congregation, it is his Galilean sinners' church. Are there sinners here? People that have so miserably missed the mark and are so incredibly bothered by it. Maybe you've tried to please that king, and instead of pleasing him by the Spirit's light work and guidance, there was another teaching. There was that going down till that sinner has nothing to show, nothing to offer that can be pleasing in his sight except a lost life, except no righteousness, all miserable. Where does the king come from? It is so full of comfort. Look, he comes there up out of the wilderness. He doesn't come from Jerusalem via the highway to the palace, but who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Have you ever been in the wilderness? Yeah, I mean in the Holy Land. If you've ever toured the Holy Land and you've walked through the wilderness, then a concept of wilderness comes to life. No, a visit to Israel doesn't bring you closer to God. But a visit will bring you closer to the Bible. To the Bible. And those of you who have been in Israel and have seen the wilderness, you will agree, it is a place of death. Ice cold at night. Blistering hot during the day. It is the place of destruction. It is the place of dry ground. Dry pits. Behold King Solomon. His chariot. His bride. And he himself coming out of the wilderness. Yeah, that wilderness is a picture of my origin. My descent. My doing. My place of birth. And that king comes out of the wilderness, there he suffered. There, first labor in his public ministry was to be tempted. 40 days, 40 nights. There was a payment to be made. There the justice of God had to be satisfied. There I see him trailing the winepress alone. There is none of the people with him. There he seeks his wandering sons. Congregation, maybe your life is such a wilderness. Maybe your heart is such a wilderness. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? There it pleased the Lord to bring his son. There the root out of the dry ground began to flourish. There it pleased the Father to bruise him. There it pleased God to afflict him very sore. There, despised, rejected of man. Do you see, church, where your bridegroom comes from? There he became like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted. Oh, go forth, behold him as he is. Behold him upon his chariot. That chariot is furnished of the same material that the temple of the Lord was furnished of, cedar wood. Congregation, that cedar wood, or that chariot rather, is furnished by Solomon himself, it says. Nothing of the Shulamite was added. She did not order that chariot. She did not pay for that chariot. It is all his work. Oh, that entire redemptive work belongs to Christ. None of the people with him. And you see that chariot pointing to the making of that plan, to the stillness of eternity, to the thoughts of peace, but also there where that Son of God presented himself. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. There he presents himself as mediator and head of that covenant of grace. And now that chariot is presented, particularly on Ascension Day, because God ascends, his Son ascends, and it is with the shout of a trump. Read it in Psalm 47. Read it, how he was ascended and ascended by his own power. Oh, what must it have been when the doors of heaven, the gates gave way, when the King of Glory entered in? What must it have been when that door was opened? Congregation, that door was closed first in paradise. But that door was also closed for this Son of God. In death's dark hour, when upon Golgotha's hill, he cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There that presence, so to speak, that communion with the Father was closed. That the door was shut. Why hast thou forsaken me? But now look. In another redemptive act, heaven must receive him. And there the King of Glory entered in. Behold the chariot. Behold the glory. A chariot made by him. All redemption from beginning to end. does not come up in the heart of the Shulamite. But I invite Shulamites, true Shulamites this evening to go forth and behold. Come, take thou a look once at his glory, because he is in heaven, not to be idle there. There in heaven, all that Son of God does is now continually present his own work, present his blood. There he calmly awaits the reward upon his labor. And they are still being added. They are still being called. Congregation, every time a sinner is... When was the last time a sinner was converted in Picture Butte? When was the last time that the Lord opened the eyes of a Shulamite? Maybe tonight. Who knows? Maybe tonight. But every time that happens, that blessing, my hearer, is directly related to the ascension of Christ. Because now he intercedes. Now the Father sees that blood. And whatever Christ now demands upon the ground of his finished work, the ground of his satisfaction, the Father freely gives him. Then you must say, for Jesus' sake, give me a new heart. Oh, then in the most hopeless cases, no, then it doesn't have to be hopeless to the extent that you say it's not possible for me anymore. You may never say that. Because in that precious blood of Christ, that's the only way it is possible. If you say, from my sight, I would agree with you. And may the Lord teach that. That way out of self. And congregation, there is a religion today that seems to be partakers of the building of the chariot. But the people of God are taught that King Solomon made it himself. And that's their only hope. And why do they know that? Oh, they know that. Because the Lord has shown them from thee no fruit henceforward forever. Impossible. I cannot bring it further than a wilderness in my heart and life. Come, is that not a little encouraging? It's not encouraging if you've built your hope, if you've built your salvation upon your own righteousness, then it's not encouraging. But do you know it becomes so encouraging when there are Shulamites here tonight, Origin Galilee, Origin Wilderness, and now look how that king, how that bridegroom grows forth, how he's crowned. Yeah, particularly the crown is mentioned. Yeah, it is Ascension Day. It's about the crown upon his head shall flourish. It is Ascension Day. Or are you still in your own crown, name, work, holiness? Yeah, congregation, then you don't see the crown upon Jesus' head. Is that now the reason why ascension has become the stepchild among the redemptive feasts? Oh, what is that sad? What is that poor? Or is it different? Has there been at times the crowning of the king? The crowning of Christ? Maybe you say, oh man, would you please say something about that? Because that is what my heart goes out unto. Would you please say a few words about that crowning of the King? It is done in heaven, in celestial bliss, by God the Father. It is done by the angels. It is done also here upon earth. But how? You know, one of our forefathers, you know him very well, Reverend Abram Hellenbroek, he writes so beautifully, so simply about that crowning of the King. He has a sermon on this. And you know what I noticed while reading that sermon of Dominie Hellenbroek? Then I noticed something, that crowning is something so totally different than what I first imagined. Because maybe there is a people here tonight as well. How is he now crowned? How can that be done? Especially when there is so much that can be a hindrance here. Sometimes I cannot come any further than what is here, let alone crown him. You know, so pastorally, so tenderly does Hellenbroek explain, and it may surprise you, does he explain what that crowning is? You know what he says? He is crowned by becoming acquainted with him. By becoming acquainted with him. In Revelation it says, come and see, come and see. Oh, what a responsibility lies then also upon the servants of the King to preach him. To preach Christ in his beauties, in his willingness, in his suitability, in his humiliation, in his exaltation. To preach him as Christ crucified. To present him in every message. Because congregation, if Christ is not preached, then we have not preached. Become acquainted with him. Maybe you say, how? Then I have to bow my knees and say, Lord, convert me. Is that only a prayer of an unconverted? You know who also pray, Lord, convert me? God's true children. They also pray, Lord, convert me. They desire to hear his voice because that voice is so sweet. They desire to hear his word because his words are so sweet. Mary said at his feet, hearing his words, becoming acquainted with him. You know where that takes place? Sometimes in the inner chamber, sometimes in church. When that heart is opened, when the Spirit of Christ draws and fills the heart with so much sorrow after God. When that blessed of the Father descends, it is all of him. And when he causes such a deep longing that he speaks again, thy voice is so comely. That voice is so near, so dear. Do you know how he is crowned? By worship, Hellenbroek says. Worship. What is worship? Worship in the New Testament is a very deep word. Worship in the New Testament means to bow. To bow so deep. To truly become nothing. By worship. We read it in the Bible of that leper that he came and worshiped. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And before he said that, he first worshiped. You know what he thereby confessed? Lord, here lies a Shulamite. Here lies one that has no worthiness in himself. Worship, that is to come at a low place. You know what happens when a person comes at a low place before God? Then God can do no wrong anymore. Then all what he does is right, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Worship. By due reverence and fear, Helen Brooks says. Oh, because he is so worthy. Such high thoughts of him. Such low thoughts of self. By faith. By submission, Helen Brooks says. And with joy. Come. There's no more blessed place than to crown him from the dust. Maybe you say, I don't feel myself there. Maybe you say, I can't come there. The Lord knows that. And he brings his people there, where he becomes altogether lovely. He brings them there. And congregation, the more they are there, the more he is crowned. It is Ascension Day today. Still the stepchild? Or is it a little different? May God give it for his son's sake. Let's sing together. 124. And let's only sing the stanzas 3 and 5. 3 and 5 of 124. Now gird thee with thy sword, O strong and mighty one, in splendid majesty arrayed, more glorious than the sun. 3 and 5 of 124. Thy strength shall overcome all those that hate the king. Shall. Why does that lie so firm, my hearers? You know why? Because that chariot, that redemptive work of this glorious and ascended king is all his work. But therein lies now also the exhortation. Go forth. Go forth, people of God. Because if you crown Him, you no longer can crown yourself. Then there is no other desire but to cast your crown before His feet. Therefore, go forth and behold, it is the exhortation that sounds on Ascension Day. But it is also a word for those who have not crowned the King. Then I tell you tonight, go forth out of your slavish service of the devil unto that exalted King who is able to save to the uttermost and to do more than you and I can dare ask or think. Go forth, those who still crown themselves or others. We are so good at that, aren't we? Oh, we're so good at crowning ourselves. But I ask you this evening, go forth from all your crowning of self. Go forth and behold King Solomon with the crown. Ascension congregation, and Christ ascended visibly. He ascended in the sight of His disciples. That was the last sight they had of Him. And what was that last sight? When He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And while He was blessing them, that explains why the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. That lies explained in the fact that they were under those hands. And congregation, in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then in an outward way, but nevertheless, still true, the congregation is under that blessing. Why else do you think that there is a blessing at the end of every worship service? A blessing that calls for the light to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Go forth and behold King Solomon. Go forth, sinner, from your life in the pleasures of sin. Why would ye die, O house of Israel? Why will ye die in the service of a hard taskmaster? While this Christ ascended into heaven with His hands stretched out. Oh, go forth you who are still halting upon two opinions. Nothing is more dangerous than to halt upon two opinions. And maybe you say, but I don't feel the need. If that is so, you've all the more reason to go out and to go forth. Those that have the most reason to go forth perhaps see the least reason for it. Take that along. Those who see the least reason have the most reason. Go forth. Behold the crown. Behold His glory and be warned. Because as we read tonight, that same Jesus will so come again, but then no longer as Savior. Now, he is still proclaimed as such. Then, he will come as judge. And he will ask every inhabitant, what have you done with that crown? What have you done with my overtures? What have you done with my glory? People of God, Christ the King, he has entered into glory as intercessor, as advocate, as your oldest brother. He has been registered in your Shulamite genealogy. He dwelt among you. Therefore, he is now that compassionate high priest that is acquainted with all your needs, all your struggles, all your tears, all your down-sitting, all your uprising. And he presents your case without interruption. And that matter, that case, that cause is not yours, but is his. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. Lord, thou hast granted us a moment in Ascension Day commemoration. May it have aroused us, awakened us. May it have stopped us, arrested us. For Lord, Ascension Day commemoration is so upon the back burner. It is so hidden. It has been called the stepchild among the feasts, and that is not right. It is not right. Oh, may the need to crown him be bound upon our heart. And may those who have learned something of that in principle have been encouraged to do it even more. But Lord, at the same time, that chariot made its way also through the congregation this evening. That chariot with the King and the Bride. May we not say that that chariot even stopped, even this evening in Picture Butte. O God, add pearls to thy mediatorial crown. May thy glory, may thy work appear and finish perfectly what thou hast undertaken for Shulamites. Lord, remember us as we go from here. Bring us home in safety. Watch over each and every one of us. Bring us in thy house in the day of tomorrow for another wedding procession. Lord, may the beginning be in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. May we acknowledge thee for thy help given and received in this evening. Discharge us with a token of thy favor. Pass us not by. Forgive our sins. For Christ's sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is 183. 1 and 3. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leddest the captive in thy train. Rich gifts to thee are offered by men who did rebel, who pray that now Jehovah, their God, with them may dwell. 1 and 3 of 183. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and afterward go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.